17 to 18, should be able to go through this. Okay, anybody have a testimony before we get started? It's a blessing to me that some travel so far to get here. So he's up by O'Hare. Did you fly down from O'Hare? So, where's the Korean part of the city that you passed out booklets?
Flea Market.
It's Flea Market? On the north side.
Yeah. So sometimes distribute the books to the people correctly, and put the books on the shelf, and also talk with people.
Okay, that's great. That's a good thing to do. Have you seen Jehovah Witnesses are at the airports now?
I'm sorry?
Jehovah Witnesses are. I saw them at O'Hare now at the airport. They kind of stand by the baggage claim, and they just stand there with a little thing.
Yeah, the whole thing, right? The whole
sign. Yeah, yeah.
They're all over the place now.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in airports.
Airports, they're the train stations, all the places.
Okay. Huh. Oh, well. Okay, Numbers 17. I heard Sam Gibbs say one time that the scariest book in the Bible to him was Numbers. And when he first said that, I thought, why would he say that? And then he says, all the records that are kept. Oh, yeah. But hey, Sam's going to be up in Cherville August 4th, 5th, and 6th at Brother Tom's church. So that'll be Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. I'm going to have to ask him. I don't know if Sunday night is 6 o'clock or 7, 6. So we just might call off and go up there. No, I don't know. Sam's a real blessing. So, yeah, that's August 4th, 5, and 6. Who are you going to work on? Oh, healing. We have a healing service going on here. Now, she sows her seed faith vow. It might do a little bit better. So, okay, number 17, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words, and I do ask you to help us to be good students of your word, that we might understand, and that we might also be a blessing to you by rightly dividing the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, number 16, of course, if you believe the Bible, God chose Moses to be the leader of Israel, to get them out of Egypt. Moses was beaten around the bush. And then he said, okay, go ahead and have your brother Aaron help you out. And so Aaron was chosen by the Lord. And then the Lord gave them evidences. Okay, not we don't have this capability these days, but he gave them visible proof. But that didn't stop some people from challenging it. And so in number 16, Korah was a ringleader. He challenged it. And he met a pretty bad ending. Okay, and then chapter 17, the Lord is going to reinforce the idea that he chose Aaron. And one of the most important things for a person to understand the Bible is rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of arguments against the Bible, especially with the woke people now, will come out of Deuteronomy. And they'll find all those little, you know, the can have hybrid seed, you know, you can the animals, and they're griping about that. And all you just look at and say, what are you griping about? That's for Israel. And of course, they don't even know anything about that. And what I'm seeing is these little woke girls, little woke girls that are usually gothic dress, they're pushing the idea that Jesus was black. So I had one up here in Crown Point. Jesus was black. And I said, no, he wasn't. He was a Jew. And so, yeah, that's a big thing that's going around now, But and of course, then the main verse they used is he had hair white like wool. And I had a black guy tell me that probably 20 years ago. I said, you can obviously see it was about the color of his hair. He didn't have woolly hair. And so that, of course, that black guy didn't really appreciate that. But he was a Jewish man. In Numbers 17, okay, this is the Old Testament religion of Judaism. Okay, so often people will say that Christianity is a religion, and to be precise and technical, it is not. It's a faith. But even at that, I could understand people saying that. But in the Bible, the only religion that is endorsed by God is Old Testament Judaism. Okay, and the word religion and religious are found seven times in the Bible. And here in number 17, if you hold your finger here, go to the first occurrence of the word religion is in Acts 13. So Acts 13, this is the first time. Now we often have, I think most of us have heard of the idea of Judeo-Christian ethics. That would be the similarities between Judaism and Christianity. But there are some unique differences also. So Acts 13, 43, okay, this is the very first time the word religion or religious here is found in the Bible. Two in Acts, two in Galatians, and then three in James. So Acts 13:43. Now when the congregation broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them concerning the grace of God. So religious proselytes would be Gentiles who are Jews in their religion. Okay, and then that's what Ethiopian eunuch was doing in Acts 8, and then he met the Lord. So what they're doing is that they're following, they looked at, like, Ethiopian eunuch, he's looking at his religions that has offered to him in Ethiopia, and he says, nah, that don't work. They got too many problems. And then he came across Judaism. Okay, that looks pretty good. And so he did a Judaism, and he's following the rules and regulations of Judaism, going to Jerusalem on a certain time. And then on the way back, that's when God had Philip and him cross paths, and he said, oh, we got a better deal for you. And so this is, people have different paths that they travel down, trying these different faiths along the way. And so it's a continual path. And then there comes a time, and sometimes it takes years, there comes a time a person said, now that's what I was looking for. And that's when the faith of the Lord comes up. Okay, let's try the Galatians one. This is Paul's testimony. And under the religion of Judaism, they would have to stretch the passage in Deuteronomy 13, but they could actually execute people over religion. This is a common complaint against the early colonists where at Salem they had the witch trials, and, you know, and they executed the witches and all that stuff. Well, first off, you really can't. History is very untrustworthy, okay? And you really can't trust history. And, you know, I'm really not banking into some of that stuff. But if it was, we could easily say, well, if Christians did that, they were wrong for doing that, because that is not a New Testament pattern. So the same is often with the Crusades. They used to say Christians and the Muslims. No, specific, Catholics and the Muslims. And again, that's not something that Paul endorsed in the New Testament. Paul was obeying Deuteronomy 13 as a Jew when he's killing Christians, but when he got saved and God gave him the beliefs for the faith of Jesus Christ on Mount Sinai, then he changed the idea of Deuteronomy 13, and he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So that's a difference in the New Testament. In Galatians 1, Paul is giving his testimony. Galatians is probably the first letter that Paul wrote as far as in his life. And it's and usually the first book or booklet somebody writes, it's usually their most passionate, and this one obviously is. In Galatians 1:13, it says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." Okay, then how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Okay, that wasted is a common saying. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of our fathers. Okay, and so that's when he was out and about accusing and executing Christians of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I wonder after he got saved, how many people's paths he crossed that he possibly killed their parents and how that person reacted to him. And I'm sure he did. Okay, back at number 17. Okay, and this one is Judaism. Aaron is the priest. Okay, there are some things that are time specific. Some things are universal. Okay, universally or as far as practically speaking, we can get some good information about this event. That when you are, if God puts you in an official capacity of leadership, okay, or if you are placed in an official capacity of leadership, okay, meaning like in a church body, you have like the pastor, you've got a deacon, okay, the deacons, that's an official capacity. Okay, in a school, you have a teacher, you got principals and so forth. Those are official capacities, okay? So when a person is put in official capacity, use that capacity for the benefit of others. Don't abuse that. Okay, because somebody has a badge and a uniform, okay, use that for the proper capacity, not like, oh, I'm somebody now because I got me a badge. Okay, it's not hard to get a badge. Just get online and buy one. So I've got one. It's a bounty hunter badge. And it's not a police officer. It's a bounty hunter. I have more authority than a police officer because a bounty hunter can cross over things. Not that I ever used it, but we did have the training here. Derek, were you part of that training class? The bounty hunter?
No.
Okay, I think that was before, a long time. Brother Paul, did you do that one? I think we were in that one. So that was a fun class. So I don't think any of us used it, though. But it was still fun. Okay, so in an official capacity, someone is going to challenge your authority. It's just going to happen. That's just the way it goes. Okay, you get on, quote, top of a hill, someone's going to try to knock you off. And when that happens, a person should consider the words of people, be they right, be they wrong. Okay, and the idea is that possibly they don't know what they're talking about. And you can be gracious about these things or you can be annoyed about them. Okay, but still the idea. Now, if it's not an official capacity, like when we're on a sidewalk and you're putting forth words or you're holding up a scripture sign, okay, get your words in a public arena. Your words are of value. I don't care who you are. Your words are of value. I mean, if the world's going to throw their words out there, then everybody in this room, use your opportunity to throw your words out in the public arena. It's like throwing a stone on a lake. There's going to be a ripple. Okay, and when you see this ripple and when somebody responds back, possibly you can use that response to learn how to do it more precisely, maybe in a different method. So sometimes they're seeing our blind spots, and so we're open to these things. But again, there's times that, you know, some people just like to run their mouth, okay? And so, you know, just be open, but don't be afraid. You know, me, a very introvert kid, you know, I wouldn't want to say anything, you know. But sometimes silence is golden, but sometimes silence is yellow. And so don't be afraid to put your words out in a public arena. A lot of people say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. Well, join the club. Okay, whenever you speak, you're going to say something wrong along the way. I mean, it's just the way we are. It's just human nature. And we're not going to bat 1,000. And when you and if it's something that you need to correct, thank God you can correct it. Okay, and so, but the idea is I encourage you to put your words out in a public arena. And I tell you, we have an amazing time where you can, you know, and it's, I feel goofy when I do the videos. I just feel weird looking at a camera, you know, but you get your words out in a public arena like that, and somebody around the world can pick up on that. And you're redeeming time. And let's say you made 10 videos and you put them on YouTube and they're going around the world and then you die. Your videos are still going around the world. And in heaven, your reward, you know, calculator up there is maybe going tick, 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 tick. That's why the Bible says works shall follow them. We could send some ahead, but some also follow us. All the tracks you passed out, how that gets out into the arena. Okay, and it's going to be a very exciting time to see what God did with the literature that you passed out. It's going to be a very exciting time to see what happened to the words and then how maybe people cussed you. And then at the white throne judgment, when the Lord says, you don't have an excuse. Do you remember on such and such day, this person? And then he whips up the movie theater and puts up the video and there you are. He said, oh, would you come over here? I need you to testify. Okay, what did you say to this person that day? And so we'll be called to testify. And that person will have zero excuse. So in when you give out words, words of truth, you can't lose, okay? If they reject it, then you're going to get a reward for that. They accept it. That's the great joy we have here. So in number 17, it's Aaron. Okay, and the Lord is going to reinforce this. Now, in the New Testament, he's not going to do this for us. Okay, a lot of these churches down in Kentucky, Tennessee, okay, what they'll do is when, you know, the kin down the road is mad at the preacher, they'll have a meeting, and then they'll have a vote of confidence meeting, and then somebody who hadn't been in that church for 3 months, they call all their kin, and then they come in and vote the guy out. Okay, and so, yeah, that happens. And the Lord is keeping track of all that, keeping track of everything. In Numbers 17, verse 1, he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, take of every one of them a rod. Okay, a rod. This is like Moses' rod. This is like the rod that a conductor of an orchestra will have, you know, where he tap, tap, taps on that. Take a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes. Prince is according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, right? Thou, every man's name upon his rod. Okay, so this is going to be something. So everybody's got this rod, all the different tribes, and they're going to write their name on it. Okay, now, what if God would do that in this day and age? Okay, maybe there's a church squabble, and a person says, okay, you take a 2x4, and you take a 2x4, and you write your name on it, and you write your name on it, and let's see if anybody's going to start growing. God's not going to do that for us. Okay, and when he did it for them, I'm sure some people still were upset about it. So there we go, 12 rods. Verse 3, thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. Okay, they'd probably say Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers, and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony. So this testimony, that's the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, they got the Ark of the Covenant inside that box, hollow structure overlaid with gold. It'd be the stone tablets. Okay, and there's going to be, back then, a bowl of manna. And then this rod is going to be placed in there. Now, when Solomon built a temple and God dedicated everything. The only thing left in there was the Ten Commandments. I don't know if somebody hocked the rod or whatever, but it was gone. Okay, and so then in verse 4, thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle congregation before the testimony. The testimony, that's the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments. And then 5, and it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. So he said, we're going to stop this arguing. We're going to stop it. And so now I personally, I would have thought the fire and the earth opening up the previous chapter would have done the trick. Okay, but evidently somebody's still griping. And a person has to, in the New Testament, okay, again, maybe in a school, you got a parent griping about something, you know, and of course, if you do that in the public schools, the Biden administration will brand you a terrorist, you know, if you question the LGBT community thing. But even at that, maybe something like that, the Lord is, we have to do what is in the best interest in that leadership position of everybody in the room. That's our desire. And when it's brought into the spiritual world, Galatians 1 says, do I live to seek men? No, I want to live to seek God. So, I know somebody, he preached here years ago. He's down in Texas. The church just went belly up. And he's just trying to find the will of God for his life. And it's a very difficult thing. So I've tried to encourage him, and all that stuff. But there are some places Ichabod occurs. And you just got to take the broom and brush it away and go someplace else. That happens. And so here, the Lord said, we're going to stop this. So in verse 6, Moses spake unto the children of Israel, every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece for each prince one, according to their father's house, with even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, wow, that's a miracle. On the morrow, wish I could have a garden grow that fast. Fruit tree. On the morrow, he says, went Moses into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. And brought forth buds and blossomed, or bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. Wow, that's better than asparagus or aspergas. Depends what you want to call it. I mean, that's a miracle. Do fruit trees have all three of those on at once? I don't know. I don't think so. But that's what God did, and this is what God can do. I don't know if he put copper in there to make it grow real fast. Okay, but can you imagine? Okay, if that's done in one night, what do you think the millennium's going to be like? The crops and everything. Can you imagine sinking your teeth into a grape that's the size of a grapefruit? Man, that's going to be amazing. And the Lord has just amazing things. And he's going to show us this stuff in a millennial time period. So in verse 9, Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked, and every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. Okay, so that's what they put in the Ark of the Covenant. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Now that's the mercy of God. He could have just said, I'm sick of you guys. I'm just going to wipe you out. And so then Moses did so as the Lord commanded him. So did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Okay, Now, you'll see churches that will say on their door, apostolic. Okay? An apostolic church should have regular deaths in the congregation during the church service, especially if somebody lies to the Holy Ghost. You don't want to go to an apostolic church. And when they don't have these deaths, that proves they're lying. They're just a bunch of liars. And so in Acts 5, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. So when you read through Acts, as far as chronology or as far as doctrine goes, you'll see at the beginning, Jerusalem, toward the middle, Antioch. At the beginning, Peter, toward the middle, shifts to Paul, rob Peter to pay Paul. At the beginning, Israel, as it shifts to the Gentiles. And so the book of Acts is a transition book from Jews to the Gentiles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's not the Acts of Christians until chapter 11, where the first place in Antioch, they're called Christians. So when we rightly divide Scripture, the Bible makes beautiful, perfect sense. It is like a masterpiece puzzle. It's just a phenomenal thing. But when you don't know how to rightly divide, the Bible is absolutely confusing. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ introduced that idea. In chapter 18, he gets into some of the duties of the Old Testament priest. Now, the Catholic Church claims that God has transitioned all this priesthood to them. Okay, and if that's the case, I would just simply ask them, was Peter the first pope? They'll probably say yes. Okay, if he's the first pope, then why don't the other popes follow his lead? What do you mean by that? Well, first off, he had a mother-in-law. And that's not a good thing. And when an Italian came and bowed down before him, Acts 10, Peter said, get up, for I'm a man like you. And besides that, he said that the scriptures were not of any private interpretation, but you people say it's privately interpreted by you. And Peter said, Jesus Christ is the rock. And Peter said, we ought to listen to Paul. And that's taking their supposed authority, overthrowing their belief system. Okay, on the radio, 1270 is relevantradio.com. That's a Catholic station. And there's been a few people call in and try to stump the guy, and I'm thinking, boy, this rascal's pretty slick. And it's kind of interesting to listen to him, but those are things to do. This is where we have a common thing where when people tell a joke, who's usually at the pearly gates? They got St. Peter at the pearly gates. And what's the game that kids play? Simon Says. So a long time ago, I was going through false doctrines on the radio program. So I was going through Calvinism and Arminianism and Mariolatry. And so how do you do the Roman Church when the owner is Catholic? So I played Simon Says that morning. What does Simon say? And I just went through 1st and 2nd Peter. And hopefully somebody thought about that. So a lot of times you can take a starting point where, okay, they claim, and you don't need to argue that he wasn't the first pope. He wasn't, but just let that slide and then go from there and say, okay, since he was, why don't you follow his leadership? Why don't you behave as he does? Hopefully to get him to think. Okay, and so here, the priesthood of Israel changed when? It changed at Calvary. How do we know that? If you would go to Acts 4, verse 36. On the day of Calvary, the veil was rent from top to bottom. And it probably revealed to anybody in that area that they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant behind the veil because that was gone, and they probably had a statue of Baphomet. And then they quickly had to hide that idea. In Acts 4:36, this gentleman, Barnabas, he is what you could call an unsung hero. He didn't write any scripture, but he's the one that discipled Paul, Saul. So he's a behind-the-scenes guy. So anything that Paul, anything that he did, Barnabas gets a part of it. And boy, that's something. So Acts 4:36, and Hoses or Jose, or however they'd say that, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Okay, so he's a Levite. He didn't get any special attention. They didn't come to him as far as being a Levite under Judaism. All that was put aside. So thank the Lord, in the New Testament, we don't have to, you know, go to through some person, a priest of some kind. We go right to the Lord Jesus. And that's what religion does. Religion has a hierarchy, okay, where Christianity is we're all equal at the cross. Thank the Lord for that. Okay, where and it's demonstrated when you get to Acts 8, you have an Ethiopian eunuch, a black man, who is saved by believing in Jesus. Then in Acts 9, a brown man or an Oriental who is saved, that's Saul, by believing in Jesus Christ. And in Acts 10, you have a white man, an Italian, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord covers all the races. And then, if you have a mixed race, that's Acts 16, Timothy. Dad was a Jew, mom was a Greek. Okay, and so the Lord covers all his bases. It's all through the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? The Lord Jesus is the greatest uniter of races between us because we have the same Lord. That's the uniter. And that's why there's going to continue to be fighting there because they don't want to promote Jesus Christ. And boy, that's a blessing to see that. Now, when you see Barnabas, the next time you'll see him, well, he's with Saul, and then he and Saul start this missionary journeys and all that stuff. And sadly, reality steps in Acts 15, they have a fight. Saul and Barnabas have a disagreement. Two men filled with the Spirit of God, yes, they had a disagreement. And they parted company. And Barnabas took Mark, and Paul took Silas. And so now God has two missionary endeavors. So he doubled his work. Okay, and then it's a blessing later on. You'll see that Paul brags about John Mark. So he gave John Mark another opportunity, and John Mark proved himself to be right. So that was a blessing there. In Numbers 18... you have many of the rules and regulations for an Old Testament priest, and they would rule from they would serve in this priesthood from age 30 to 50. So it's only a 20-year span. So 30 to 50, and then I don't know what they do after that. Okay, and then through here, when you skim down through here, you'll see the word tithe in here. Okay, and that. And that tithe was to provide the financial aspect for the Old Testament priest. But Paul doesn't mention that in the New Testament for the church. The next time it's brought up in the New Testament is Hebrews. Okay, so you'll see it in Hebrews, and of course there's a reason for that. But still, the general rule for us in the New Testament is you can't outgive God. And I'm of the belief that if God likes what's going on in a place, then he will provide the means. I believe that's faith, without anybody having to beg, plead, and all this stuff. There's a fellow on YouTube that's all his ministry's on YouTube. He's up in Maine. He's kind of hibernating. You know, he would call it separation, and his donations must have gotten down. So what he did is he got all these letters that he's gotten through all the years. He stacked them on a table, and he said, "This is a ministry you need to support." And I thought, donations must have been down. So I wrote a little comment. Donations must have been down. He took 45 minutes begging for money, and that booger blocked my comment. And so, yeah, that's a fact. And he lives by faith. Well, okay, live by faith. And the Lord will take care of things. And we've watched that for years here. We thank God for that. Some accuse me of not being a Baptist because I only take the one offering on a Sunday morning, not any other times. And the Lord provides. The Lord provided, like for the little Rensselaer church all these years. He's provided for that church, for people we knew around when we didn't have anybody, very few people to even give, but we were getting offerings from other places. The Lord would touch somebody's heart to help us out. Now, financially, both churches are doing amazing. Building paid for. No debt. Thank the Lord for that. Okay, so in Numbers 18, when you kind of read down through there, it's a lot of the rules and regulations for a religion. It's like a short part or a handbook for the religious Jews. Okay, and then as we keep going through this, to me, this is the gooder part of Numbers, not these numbers and this lot and that, you know. Numbers 19 is exciting because it talks about the red heifer. And what's exciting in our day that is different than any time in the past. We know people in the past thought the Lord was coming and all that stuff. But what's different today, one is the transgender thing. And two is Israel got 5 red heifers last September. And they're talking about getting this temple going again. So you got Israel testifying. You've got the World Economic Forum wanting to get things going. And so you got the devil side wanting to get it going. You've got the religious Jews wanting to get it going. You've got the fake Jews wanting to get it going. There's a lot of stuff happening. And so usually in July, I usually kind of get depressed because I'm a June guy. I think it's a June thing. So next July, if we see next July, I am really going to be depressed. And so, I mean, that's something to look forward to. Okay, we'll stop there. Numbers 18. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray, Lord, we just like to see you receive the glory that is due you. You deserve to be glorified. And Lord, I pray you'd get the show on the road so the Lord Jesus can receive glory that he is due. In Jesus' name, amen.